Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
All right, back to live action with Scott Engel, Jim Day. Scott Engel, Jim Day, and George Kurtz. Here on Fantasy Sports Today, as we continue to preview the AFC Conference Championship, we'll give our Taz predictions in just a little bit. Taz Lace predictions in just a little bit. We'll have some DFS and prop bet talk coming up. If you have want to make your predictions, you have questions fantasy wise about today's game, the number is 844-843-6879. We were talking about Tyreek Hill and how much Bill Belichick has just not been able to solve him, Jim.
Well, I'll tell you, this is how much he hasn't been able to solve him. For Hill's career, he is averaging 32.8 fantasy points a game against the Patriots, while Kelsey is only averaging 9.5 fantasy points a game. So they do a better job against Kelsey than Hill. They just don't have the speed to keep up with him. We'll see if Gilmore can. I agree with you. I think that's going to be the big thing of the game, is whether or not Gilmore can keep up with Hill. And you know, you're not going to stop him, but hopefully slow him down.
Kelsey, 5 receptions for 61 yards in the first meeting this year, but he also has caught 5 passes in 4 consecutive games against the New England Patriots. There's really no way that New England, even though Belichick is just much of a defensive mastermind, I just don't think they have enough defensive talent to contain both of them. So what are you expecting from Kelsey today, George?
I'm expecting a solid game. I said, I'm curious to see what Belichick does. We know he likes to eliminate or do his best to eliminate the offense's best choice. But I think that's going to be Hill. I think Hill's the one he's worried about, because I think Hill's the guy who can be a game breaker, who can be an 80-yard touchdown reception at any point. So I think that's the guy he wants to worry about there. Kelsey is more, I don't want to say killing you slowly, but he's more, you know, a catch for 15 yards here, 17 yards here. It's death by knives rather than death by a bullet. So I think Kelsey's going to have a solid game. Not a huge game. I don't see 120 yards or anything like that coming. But you said 5 for 61 last time. I think he does a little bit better than that. 677, somewhere around there. Maybe he gets into the end zone there, 677-1. That sounds about right for me.
Okay. And Sammy Watkins also could be, especially when we talk about Daly in a little while, could be a nifty play. 2 catches on 18 yards in the first meeting, but Watkins looked good coming back this past week. And if they're going to worry a lot about Tyreek Hill, it could open up things for Sammy Watkins as well, Jim.
No, I agree. I love Sammy Watkins today in DFS, and like you said, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But for these reasons, they're definitely – that's the one thing about the Chiefs. They have a lot of weapons. Watkins looked good last week, first game back, coming off the injury. You know, there was some concern that he wouldn't be fully good, didn't look right. But he got on that field. He looked fine. He was making some nice sharp cuts. Didn't seem to have any issues with any of that. You know, made some nice catches. Did put the ball on the ground. But you could argue that was just a really good defensive play, stripping the ball out of his hands. I think he had a great game last week. There's no talk of setback during that game or during the week of preseason this week. So I think that he's in line to have a decent game. You know, defense, like you said, they don't have enough defensive talent to cover all these guys. So they're going to have to let, you know, one of them go one-on-one for most of the game. And I expect that to be Watkins. And I think Watkins can defeat that.
In the first meeting, Kareem Hunt, 185 yards from scrimmage here. Damian Williams has looked just as explosive and dynamic. You can make a case He certainly looked more dynamic than Spencer Ware, who's practiced in full. It could be active today, but even if I don't expect that to be a 50-50 split, maybe more of like a 75-25, because Williams has just looked a lot better than Spencer Ware. He should be their lead goal line back as well. A lot of open running lanes with him, with Tyreek Hill and Kelsey opening things up. You know, how much do you like Damian Williams today, and how much will Spencer Ware affect him, George?
Oh, I read it the same way you do, Scott. I mean, Ware coming back, is it annoying? Sure. But I don't think it's going to be a 50-50 split. I don't. I think Ware sort of got Wally Pipped, got hurt, and Williams took over that job, and he can do it all. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, he can run it, and he can be a goal line guy. Not that he's going to do it all. He's not going to get every carry, but he's the guy you want today. Ware will be more of a complimentary role, or if things just aren't working out. I mean, if Belichick's got Williams stacked, okay, then maybe they go to Ware. But Williams is the guy I want today. I don't think Ware is all that much of a threat at all.
What do you expect statistically?
I'd be surprised if Ware gets more than 10 touches.
What are you expecting statistically from Damian Williams today, George?
Once again, not a monster game. But I think he's going to have a solid game. I do think he gets into the end zone. I think he's going to get I agree with Jim. I don't think Ware's going to touch all that much. I'll say Ware. Williams will get plus 70 yards and a score. And, you know, he'll catch 3-4 balls.
Okay. Tom Brady threw for 340 yards in a touchdown in the first meeting in Week 6, but he was sacked twice, fumbled twice, and lost one. But you know, look, everybody said for a long time, and I know you know this, Jim, as a Giants fan, to beat Brady, get him off his spots, hit him, harass him. Kansas City, you saw them last week. They tied for the league lead in 55 sacks. But this is a short passing team, and Brady gets rid of the ball very quickly. I don't think this the Patriots are built to play from behind. They have to play a high percentage short passing game with the running backs heavily involved. As you know, to keep pace in this game, if they get from behind, Brady really can't stretch the field. But I think, you know, if this game sticks close, he should be able to do his thing. What are you expecting from the greatest of all time today, Jim?
Well, look, the one thing we know, there's a couple of things that play into this question is, you know, Andy Reid is the king of scripting those first 15 plays. He's been very successful at it, coming right out of the gate. They've had 18 first quarter touchdowns this year based on that, you know, and that's a great thing. The wrinkle we saw last week from the Patriots was, you know, Belichick was the one who first started deferring the second half kickoff and did it religiously until net last week going up against the Colts. He wanted to come out and have his offense set the tone, get that early score instead of, you know, trying to build momentum at the end of the half and then getting the ball at the second half. So I wouldn't be surprised if they get that option, if they do that again, just to see if they can get their offense down the field and into the end zone before Kansas City has that first shot. So, you know, the coin toss may very well play into a very big role of who gets off to that fast start, because I agree, whoever gets off to that fast start is definitely going to be looking good.
All right, but you didn't answer my question, but despite all that wonderful long-winded analysis, what are you expecting from Brady today?
Well, let's see. You know, he's Brady, he's tough, but in three games at Arrowhead, he's averaging just over 240 passing yards, only one touchdown while throwing two interceptions a game. This year, the Chiefs are only allowing 14.1 fantasy points a game to opposing quarterbacks at Arrowhead Stadium. All signs point to Brady not having a big game in this one, but I don't think he has to. For them to win, I think it's going to have to be on the ground. I think it's going to be riding, you know, Sony Michel and James White doing things in that short passing game. I agree. They're not really going to, you know, be able to force the ball down the field a ton. So I think it's really going to come down to, you know, how much success can Sony Michel have running against this, you know, better defense at home by far than they are on the road in Kansas City.
Michelle rushed for 106 yards and two touchdowns in the first meeting at Foxborough, coming off a career game last week. You know, to Jim's point, though, I think Bill Belichick knows that Kansas City is going to be looking at Michelle, stop Michelle defensively. So he may come out with different wrinkles. Maybe he starts running Rex Burkhead. Maybe he starts throwing the ball a little bit more. I get concerned about that because you saw what you saw last week with Belichick and McDaniels will not be what you see this week. So if people are trying to ride the momentum train of what the Patriots did last week, that they're always game plan specific and trying to stay a step ahead of the defensive coordinator. So could that mean that Michelle won't carry as much as he did last week or in the first meeting, George?
I mean, listen, trying to guess what Belichick's going to do is a dangerous game. And we know that, right? I think, Scott, you're absolutely correct. I mean, to assume it's going to be Michelle and James White again, or James White and Edelman catching short passes again, we have no idea. I mean, you just don't know. Belichick loves to keep people guessing. It's what's been great about Belichick through his whole, really, tenure with New England. He doesn't care about player stats. All he cares about is winning the games. He's going to do whatever he feels best to win the game. Maybe last week was a Michelle run game, and this week he figures, you know what, that's not what's going to win it for me. This game, it will be Burkhead running the ball, Burkhead catching short passes out of the backfield, because that's not what they're going to be expecting. Hell, maybe James Devlin running the ball. I've given up trying to figure out what Belichick's thinking a long time ago, but I agree. Belichick's not going to, he's just not going to go with the same pattern, game after game after game. He's going to make you think. So, and listen, now Kansas City knows that too, but they're still going to play the odds and assume it'll be Michelle, but I don't trust Belichick one little bit.
Do they have any prayer of stopping James White, who caught 5 passes for 53 yards in the first meeting? And White has 7 total touchdowns in his past 5 postseason games. The Chiefs allowed 895 receiving yards to running backs during the regular season, the third highest total among AFC teams this year, Jim.
Yeah, no, and what you're talking about, them wanting to change things up, you know, to me, that looks like a trap. It makes all the sense in the world. They want to get James White out there after having the incredible week he had last week. I wouldn't be surprised at all if James White is the decoy this week. If he's the one that they're trying to get the defenses to bite on him, you know, short out of the backfield so that they can try and push it down the field. You know, I have a little hesitation with James White. Look, I know what he's done against them in the past. I know what he's done in the playoffs in the past. He scores touchdowns in the playoffs. I get all that. I just got this sneaking suspicion that this week he's going to be the decoy.
Julian Edelman, 4 catches for 54 yards and a touchdown in the first meeting. And there could be a bigger burden on his shoulders with no Josh Gordon this time and Rob Gronkowski not being himself. I think he's a big key today. I really don't think the Chiefs have any hope of stopping him at all. I think Edelman could have a huge day, George.
He's hard to stop. Once again, a quick guy, short passes right by the line of scrimmage. He's hard to stop. So it wouldn't shock me again if he's going to get double-digit targets. I expect that to come. When he's going to get double-digit receptions, maybe another matter here. But would a line of really 8 catches, 67 yards, and a score shock anybody? No, because he's going to get – there aren't that – you know, the New England Patriots don't have the weapons they used to have. Gronkowski is nowhere near the play. Hell, today could be his final game if they lose. They lost Josh Gordon, so they don't really have that deep threat. You can think of what you want about Hogan. He's not all that great. So, really, their weapons are limited. I think might be the one thing that forces Belichick to use his normal players is because he doesn't have many other options. What's he going to do, make Dorsett and Patterson a big part of the passing game? I mean, it's limited what he can do there. So I think Edelman is going to have a big statistical game.
Rob Gronkowski in the first meeting, 3 catches for 97 yards, but we've seen a steady decline. But still, this is the Chiefs defense we're talking about. Could we see Rob Gronkowski, you know, maybe have like 3 catches for 34 yards, but he gets in the end zone today, Jim?
That's kind of what I'm thinking, you know. He hasn't gone over 25 receiving yards in any of his last 4 games. He doesn't look the same. He's definitely, you know, hurting. There's no doubt about in anybody's mind that he's hurting. And very well could be his last game. That being said, there's no reason he can't, you know, once they get in that red zone, him go stand up in the end zone and just throw the ball up to him and let him go get it. We know he could still do that. So, you know, especially in DFS, where if you don't want to pay the high price for Kelce, outside of that, it's a total cluster anyway. You have no idea. Why not take the shot that, you know, if it's going to be his last game, let's get him at least a touchdown on his way out the door. I could see that rationale, and I have him in quite a few DFS lineups based on that.
Okay, looking for that intangible sort of play. We're going to make our predictions now. Sean Engel getting ready to weigh in as well. I'll start out and say the Patriots may have the coaching and experience advantages, but I don't believe the Chiefs just have too many weapons for them to fully contain them. They can scheme against them, but I don't know if they can stop them. And if they get behind by more than 10 points, the Patriots, I think they're dead. I think this game's going to hit the under because the Patriots are going to look play some ball control here. I'm going to say Chiefs 30, Patriots 24. George, your prediction?
Similar, but I'm going to go slightly over on your score here. I got the same team. I got the Chiefs winning as well, 31-27.
All right, Jim Day.
We're going to make it unanimous. I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well. I think this Mahomes kid is just something special. He's going to show it on a big stage against a big quarterback opponent. He wants to be that guy. I think he's going to prove why tonight. So I like the Chiefs to win. I like the Chiefs to cover. I'm looking more like something like a 37-27 type of game.
All right, Sean Engel, producer, who's going to win between the Chiefs and the Patriots?
I am going to be saying Kansas City here, too.
Okay, so it's a clean sweep. We all say Kansas City.
Tom Brady hates us all.
Yeah, we're all in agreement across the board, except George thinks that the Rams are going to beat the Saints today. He's banking on how much confidence do you really have banking on Jared Goff?
I haven't liked the way I've seen on New Orleans play. It's really more on how New Orleans offense has played of late, and I think they're easier to stop right now. I just think if you can keep Thomas in check, I don't think that passing game can get it done here, and I like what I've seen out of the Rams. If you're asking me if this game comes on Goff's shoulders, you know, if New Orleans is able to stop Gurley, stop C.J. Anderson, well, then I'm probably going to be wrong.
All right, coming up next, we're going to head on over to FanDuel and talk about DFS picks for today. And some lineups. After that, we'll have some prop bets coming courtesy of Jim Day. So lots more coming here on Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is our conference championship edition. For more detailed analysis, go to rotoexperts.com right now.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
A little Genesis for George. I guess this is a song maybe about Detroit and the Lions. Land of Confusion, George, by Genesis.
One of my favorite videos.
Great video.
That's what, going with the Muppets and all that. That was funny, yeah. Nuke or Nurse.
Yes.
Reagan hits the wrong button.
Anything with Muppets is good.
There you go.
I hated the Muppets growing up, by the way.
Oh, really? I love the Muppets.
You know what? We had a very positive George Kurtz for about an hour and 20 minutes until showed up.
You know, because back when we were younger, remember, the kids, things were different when we were younger. We didn't have 9,000 TVs in the house. So my brother and I had to share a TV. And we had to, like, every other day would be your day to decide what you wanted to watch. And my brother's day was always Monday, and the Muppets were always on Monday. And I was forced to watch the Muppets instead of, like, I don't know, what was on Mondays at 8 back then? MacGyver or whatever crime show. I just didn't like the Muppets, okay? I didn't like Muppets because I was forced to watch them.
You know, now you sound like Statler Waldorf, so you better cut it out. All right. If you like to wager on sports or never have and would like to try, head on over to BetDSI. They have wagering options for almost any sport you can think of, including sides, totals, and player props, where you can utilize your daily fantasy skills without salary cap constraints. You can even wager on esports, politics, and reality TV, or get an edge with live betting at BetDSI, where you can wager virtually anytime during a contest, capitalizing on in-game circumstances. There are so many ways you can make money. Use the promo code FNTSY101 when signing up and get a 100% deposit bonus deposit match. So head on over and open your account at BetDSI. That's promo code FNTSY101 to get your 100% deposit bonus match. All right, so let's move on here to talking about some DFS, and we'll head on over to FanDuel, where there's a Sunday Million contest at $9.95 to get in. Look, I'm just reporting this. I'm not trying to take sides, but do you guys ever notice that the millionaire contest is like half of the price of the one over on DraftKings, Jim?
Yeah, it's always cheaper, no doubt about it. And, you know, hey, why not take a shot? $10, you'd be a millionaire. Definitely worth that shot.
Yeah, but you know what I haven't noticed, to be fair, though? If, like in the field, the more people win on DraftKings than they do on FanDuel. It's just, you know, the price for the contest is $9.95 compared to $20. But, you know, I really haven't looked at the price breakdowns and whether if you don't finish in first or anywhere near it, you can win more money on DraftKings.
Good point. Now, I honestly don't know that myself. That's something good to look into.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look into that. You know, I haven't really checked it out, but you know, just from a marketing perspective, $9.95 looks less daunting than $20. But you know, it's not easy to win it either one. But we'll talk about the fantasy FanDuel. If you want to get some good advice for the DraftKings Showdown games, head on over to DailyRoto.com, and of course, you can use their lineup optimizer for today. You can also you can also customize it to go by slate on site. So if you're only playing on DraftKings, you can make it DraftKings only. At quarterback, we only have four of them. We got Patrick Mahomes at 9,000 on FanDuel, Drew Brees at 8,800, Tom Brady at 84, and Jared Goff at 8,000. To me, you know, some of the numbers that we've given out here, Jim, you know, Brees only in his final four regular season games, only one touchdown pass, two last week. We're not expecting a lot of upside from Tom Brady today. Jared Goff, the Rams might lead on the running game. Patrick Mahomes is at 9,000. He's only $200 more on Drew Brees. Now, if you go over to rotoexperts.com, Davis Maddock is advising to maybe you know, pivot away from Mahomes because he is so highly owned. But to me, I'd rather make my pivoting hay elsewhere. I'd rather differentiate elsewhere if I could, because I feel like Patrick Mahomes is the only quarterback with true statistical upside on the slate. That say, the way he's been playing lately, you know, all these quarterbacks could end up with good, not great performances. But if I'm going up for upside, definitely in a tournament, I want to have Patrick Mahomes, and there's always a school of thought that, you know, you want to keep pace with some of the other top scoring, you know, sort of competitors when you're playing in a tournament, Jim.
Yeah, this is the issue. Do you want to pay the top dollar for Mahomes, or do you want to try and take one of the lesser-owned quarterbacks and make your hay that way? Look, you know, we've seen it time and time again. A lot of the people that win these millionaire makers, they're not taking the obvious choice. They're taking the guy that's actually more than likely the least obvious choice. Unfortunately, there's only four quarterbacks on the ticket, and you know, I can make an argument that all four of them can have big games if they need to have them. You know, Goff, look, if they get behind and he has to throw 40 times, you know what? I think he's going to put up good fantasy numbers having to do that. You know, if Brees gets behind and is forced to throw, same thing. Same thing with Brady. So you can make a case for all four of these guys. It really comes down to how you want to build the rest of your roster. So, you know, I attack this week in a different fashion. Usually, you know, I'm looking at trying to figure out, you know, quarterback and tight end first. That's the kind of thing I'm looking at, and then I build a mess for my roster. This week, I did it the exact opposite way. I tried to build my interior first, running back, wide receiver, before trying to make a decision on quarterback and tight end. Did I have the money? Could I still pick Mahomes? Could I still pick Kelsey if I had that money? That's how I built it this week. So it really comes down to roster construction for me.
If you had to rank the four this week based on salary on FanDuel, George, how would you rank them, and who would you be willing to most take the shot on other than Mahomes?
Other than, I mean, I have Mahomes in my lineup, too. I'm spending the $9,000. Other than Mahomes, I mean, it's funny. This whole show, we've pretty much said, oh, Breeze hasn't been throwing many touchdown passes. Brady could have problems away from home, and he's not throwing touchdown passes, and we don't trust Goff. I mean, we've sort of eliminated the other three. As far as guys you could take here, I guess if I have to, since I don't trust Breeze. I don't think he's been playing all that great. I think their passing offense can be slowed down here. I think it's more their rushing attack and short passing game that'll be a threat, and that may not lead to many touchdown passes here. I mean, it's tough not to go with Brady because he's done it before. But Jim put up those numbers before on the road, not good. Goff, $8,000. I'll save the grand, so that's where I'll go. I'd go in reverse. Goff, Brady, Breeze, if I can't go Mahomes.
You hear how George talks about it. I have Mahomes in because I don't have trust in the other three. But to your point, Jim, the people that win the million or finish high in tournaments, they don't look at things necessarily that way about who they don't trust. Because the one thing that I always say, you can look at the matchups, you can look at the trends, but you can never fully predict spontaneous execution in pro football and what actually is going to happen on the football field, you know, athletically and game flow-wise once the game starts. So from that perspective, if you were to pivot off of Mahomes, who would it be for you?
Well, my second choice would be Brady, just because I do expect that to be a higher scoring game. I like them to go over. I don't like the other game to go over. I think it's going to be an under game. Although I've been thinking that all week. I've been pretty solid on the under all week. The fact that the line really hasn't moved and it's kept that high is kind of starting to wear at me, and I'm trying not to let it because, you know, hey, Vegas is better at this than I am. Most often they hit a lot closer than I do. But at the same time, both these teams have just been not the same high-flying offense as they were at the beginning of the year. So because of that, I have Brady as my number two. I have Goff as my number three just because I think he'll be the lowest owned of the four quarterbacks. And then Breeze four just because he can still win the game without having to have monster numbers.
All right. Now, you say you build a quarterback and tight end. That's what you have to start doing this week. Travis Kelce, $7,400. He's the one with the floor. You don't know how much of a ceiling he has against the Patriots. They held him to 5 for 61 last time out. And you mentioned the numbers that where they're usually able to hold him down for being explosive. But after Kelce, you really can't trust anyone. Gronkowski's $5,600, but you could end up getting 2 points from him, 3 points, four points. Benjamin Watson's out today. Josh Hill is my sneaky play. Just call it a gut feeling. I think he's going to score, but still not enough to use him at 4,600. Then you have Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett at 45 and 4,400. George, what's your feeling? Do you have to lock in Kelce? And if not, Gronkowski at 5,600, he worked the $1,800 drop. And above the less decorated tight ends, who do you like, George?
Well, I mean, there's no other tight end that even remotely like today other than Kelce, but everyone's going to start him. So if you are looking to differentiate, separate, if this way you want to go to it, it's tight end's not where I will go with it. I actually like Gerald Everett. I would take a shot with him on the Rams. And once again, you can make an argument for any of these guys. Who gets a touchdown other than Kelce? You know, who gets it? Gronk, I think he's done. It's a shame. He was my favorite player in the NFL, but I think he's done. I think the body just can't hold up. And unless he gets that jump ball in the end zone, I don't know what he's going to give you today. You mentioned it could give you 2 points. He had one catch of 25 yards last week. There's 3 points. That may be all you get again. So I'm not paying $5,600 for Gronk here. I like to have a Josh Hill pick, too, at $4,600. I just generally go, if I want to go this route, I'm going to go for the cheapest guy that I can live with, and that's Everett at $4,400.
Are there any punt plays that you like, Jim? And And why would you pivot off of Kelce today?
Well, first of all, because he hasn't done very well against New England. I mean, he has good games, but not exceptional games. And again, it's really more trying to get some more chalk play at running back and wide receiver, you know, trying to get that Hill in there with, you know, let's say Gurley or somebody like that, trying to maximize what I can get out of running back and wide receiver, just because, I mean, Travis Kelce, based on what he's done against his team, you know, you're looking at 11, 12 points. Yeah, okay, maybe, you know, I know he can go for more than that. I'm not saying he can't. Of course, he's, right now I consider him the best tight end in the game. But the fact is they've done a good job against him in the past. And then with that cost being almost, you know, $2,000 more than Gronkowski, I'd rather have that $2,000 to play with elsewhere and take a shot on a Gronk or an Everett, like you say, you know, Josh Hill. Why not? At that point, if you're not going to spend the money for Kelce, then take a punt play at tight end and really ramp up the rest of your offense and get that. It makes a lot of sense, because if Kelce ends up having one of those, you know, 10 or 11 point games, you'll be much happier if you have a lot of chalk at running back and wide receiver, I think.
Let's go over to running back with Todd Gurley's $8,500, the highest priced running back on FanDuel. George, is he worth spending up when you're looking at the timeshare, with possible timeshare with C.J. Anderson, number one, but number two, with Sheldon Rankin out and his versatility, is Todd Gurley worth spending up as the top of the ladder four for you today?
Not for me, you know, because as much as I do think Gurley gets back to being the main guy today, I'm not 100% sure. You know, maybe there is an injury there that we don't know about, that they're keeping hush-hush, and it's 70-30, 60-40, or 50-50 again like last week. Or maybe C.J. Anderson is just going to have the better day, and that's what will lead to him getting more carries there. So I'm not spending on Gurley, no. I don't have him as in my lineup. Not
Alvin Kamara,
anyway.
8,100, George, scored three times against the Rams in the first meeting. Are you spending up for him?
Yeah, I am. I think the offense can be focused around him today. I'll keep saying it. I think Tlaib or whoever it is, the double coverage on Thomas really slows down that his main part in the offense. I think Kamara is going to be, of course, he'll be involved in the run game, but I think there'll be a lot of short passes to him as well to keep that defense on its toes there. I like Kamara a whole bunch today.
James White at 7,700. Sony Michel at 7,500. Your DFS scouting reports on them, Jim, and who would you rather use today?
Well, look, you know, FanDuel's only the half-point PPR, so that, you know, muddies James White's waters a little bit. I don't expect him to have another 15-catch game. I just don't. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. I just have a gut feeling that he's going to be the decoy this week. He's going to be the one that they're using to try and draw that defensive secondary and linebackers in close so that they can try and go over the top. So I'm not in love with him this week. Sony Michel, you know, look, I like Sony Michel to have a decent running game. I am worried about whether or not he's the one, you know, if they get down to the 1 yard line, if it's him taking it in, if it's James Devlin taking it in, Cordero Patterson taking it in, that kind of bothers me a little bit. I think he goes, you know, if not over 100, very close to 100 yards, but those touchdowns bother me a little bit. I'm kind of staying away from the New England running backs this week just because there's a couple other guys that I like a little bit more. You know, one costs a little more, one costs a little less, kind of evens it out.
Damian Williams, possibly the best bargain of running back on the board today. It's 7,200, George.
Yeah, he's in my lineup as well, but he's going to be in everyone's lineup, so I don't think that's going to be a that won't be my difference maker there. But yes, he's in mine for the reason you mentioned. 7,200. I went running back heavy, more running back heavy than I did wide receiver here. So I have starting running backs. It's the receivers where I'm going to need to separate myself.
C.J. Anderson at 6,500 and Mark Ingram at 6,100. Jim, who do you like better as the value play and why?
There's nothing statistically to points to this. It's just a gut feeling. But, you know, when you have a gut like mine, you have to take it at its word. And right now it's telling me that, that Ingram is going to be a bigger part of this game than he has been lately. You know, we talk about the wrinkles these offenses want to throw at each other. I think this is going to be one of them. I think Ingram's going to be a bigger part of this game. I'm not saying he's going to have a monster game, but I'm not going to be surprised at all if he's rushing the ball for about 75 yards and at least one score. So I think at his price at 6,100, he represents a really good value. C.J. Anderson, it's going to be, you know, if they start him out, does he get off to that quick start he got off to last week? If he does, I think they let him run. If he doesn't, then I think Gurley comes right back in the game, and that kind of curtails him. So I'm a little hesitant with Anderson this week.
All right. What about Rex Burkhead as a punt? It's 5,500, George.
Well, that'd be the guy if you're, once again, if you're looking to separate yourself, you know, a guy who's not going to be owned as much as other people, I can see you're going Burkhead. We don't know what Belichick's going to do. We theorized earlier or speculated that he'll change things up from what happened last week, where it was a run the ball at Michelle, short pairs with Edelman and White. Maybe this is a Burkhead game. Now, he's not in my lineup. I didn't put him in there. I think I can do better players there. But I don't mind the play. He wouldn't be in my main lineup, Scott, but I will have other lineups. If I play four, five, six lineups, he'll be in at least one of them. Just in case Belichick does go that way, that maybe he's the goal line guy, maybe he's the guy inside the 10. You never know what McDaniel and Belichick are going to come up with.
All right. Wide receiver Michael Thomas is chalk at 8,800, Jim.
Yeah, he's absolutely up there, and, you know, probably be, if not the highest owned, one of the highest owned. I am pivoting away from him just for that reason.
All right, more wide receivers, our DFS lineups and props coming up next with on the Fantasy Football Today Championship Edition.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Final football edition of Fantasy Football Today for this season, championship edition. Talking wide receivers on FanDuel, Michael Thomas at 8,800. Jim says he's pivoting away. Tyreek Hill, $400 less. George Kurtz at 8,400. Is he in your lineup?
No, I can't afford him. I'd like to put him in my lineup, but I can't afford him. I went heavy on the running backs, so I'm going to go a little lighter on the wide receivers here. So, no, I'd like to, but he's not there.
Yeah, a lot of some lesser-priced wide receivers are attractive, such as and alluring, such as Julian Edelman at 7,900, Robert Woods at 7,100, and Brandon Cooks at only 6,900, Jim.
I agree. Definitely a good price on those guys. I definitely like Robert Woods at 7,100. Again, we talked about him. Nice matchup coming out of the slot there. I think he can do damage. The other one I like that's value we talked about a little bit earlier is Sammy Watkins at 5,600. I think he's definitely a great value on this board. I don't think that New England has what it takes to stop Tyreek Hill, but I do think they're going to try everything in their power too, and I think that's going to open up Sammy Watkins for some big plays. So I like Sammy Watkins to get into my DFS lineups here. Probably still be highly owned, so you're going to have to take another, you know, couple shots at some other guys that aren't if you want to hit that millionaire maker. But you know, I just like his chances in this game to, you know, give me good value at his cost.
5,300 for Ted Ginn. Do you like him better than Watkins, George, and any other punts at wide receiver you're viewing?
Do I like Ginn better than Watkins? No, but I have them both in my lineup. I mean, like I said, I had to go a little cheaper on wide receivers. So I have Watkins at 56. I have Ginn at 5,300 and Cooks, as Jim just mentioned, at 6,900. Those are my three wide receivers in there. Well, you know what, Ginn? It's the one big play theory. Can he hit the one big play? You know, he should have hit it last week. Breeze underthrew him. I think it was the first or second player of the game. He was open, and Breeze underthrew him. So they'll take their shots again. I know the shots will be there. The question is the connection there? That's what we don't know. You know, you're sort of hoping here that with all of the attention paid to Thomas, all the attention paid to Kamara, that sort of Ginn sort of squeaks by here. So I like the fact that at least I know I'll get my chances.
All right. Defensively, you should look for more points allowed as much as you do sacks and turnovers. What defense, what two defenses do you like the best on FanDuel, Jim, and why?
Well, I tell you the truth, usually when it comes to these defenses, I'm going to want to look at the lowest cost defenses. I just do. Defensive scoring is so hit or miss. It's so hard to really get crazy about it. The Saints will be the most highly owned, considered probably the best defense left in the four games. So, you know, they're and playing at home, I think they'll be there. But for me, if I'm going to pivot away from that 4,600, you know, I like the Rams at 4,200 based on the fact of what George has been saying all morning. The Saints offense hasn't looked as good. I mean, they struggled against Philly defense last week. You know, they won the game, but of course struggled through it to get there. I think the Rams could put pressure on Breeze this week. Not so much to the term of getting a lot of sacks and stuff, but just getting him out of his comfort zone, force him to maybe make a couple of throws he doesn't want to make some mistakes. So Rams is one of the defenses that I have a decent share in this week.
All right, FanDuel Millionaire, here's real quick. Here's my lineup. Mahomes at 9,000. Damian Williams, 7,200. Mark Ingram, 6,100. Watkins, 56. Marv Rubberwood, 71. Julian Edelman, 79. Travis Kelce, 74. Ted Ginn, 53. And the Rams defense at 42. What do you got, George?
All right, similar. Mahomes at 9. I have Kamara at 8,100. Damian Williams, 7,200. Sammy Watkins, 5,600. Cook, 6,900. Ted Ginn, 5,300. Kelce, 74. Ingram, 61. The defense, I haven't made up my mind yet. I could do anyone other than New Orleans. You know what? Jim convinced me. So how about that? Rams, 4,200.
All right, Jim, what's your FanDuel lineup?
Well, let's see. I went a little different on this one. I went with Brady at 8,400, Michelle at 7,500, Ingram at 6,100, Tyreek Hill at 8,400, Woods at 7,100, Watkins at 5,600, Gronk at 5,600, Damian Williams at 7,200 in my flex, and the Pats defense at 4,000.
All right, so that's our DFS outlooks for today. If you have any DFS questions before 10 a.m., call us at 844-843-6879 here on Fantasy Sports Today. And also, if you have any more to make any predictions or just talk to us about the championship games. But now it's time to go over to the prop bet desk, and for that we go to Jim Day.
Hey, guys. Okay, so we'll do a couple of player props first, and then we'll do a couple of game special props after that. Let's start with the biggies. Quarterbacks, Drew Brees, over under 303.5. What do you think?
Passing yards?
Yes.
He's went over 300 in two consecutive games, and while the TD passes have not been there, but you know, the Rams, I think, are going to force the tempo a little bit there. But they will run the ball a lot. I'm going to say he goes over 300, but he only has one touchdown pass today.
How about you, George?
I'll play the opposite. I'll go the under here, 303.5. Let's say they're going to run the ball more. Not going to be a high-scoring game. I'll go with the under, but it's the number's right.
Okay, let's go to the other game and go Tom Brady passing yards, 291.5.
I'm going to say under. I think they're going to have to lean on the running backs a lot here. Brady may throw more than one touchdown pass, but I think he just goes under. I think there was a stat that you pointed out about his road games where he averages just like 240 passing yards per game. He doesn't have a true field stretcher. I don't think that's Philip Dorsett. I'm going to say under.
Now, I told Jim yesterday, I'm going to play about 10 props on each game today. But neither one of these two are going to be the ones I go with here. As I think, once again, I think the numbers are pretty accurate. I'm not feeling pretty strongly either one here. I'm going to go the over. I think it's going to be somewhat high scoring. It's going to be forced to throw. But Scott's right. There's no easy 60-yard play here. You know, no chunk, big-time chunk plays. They all have to come in these little passes to Edelman and White.
Okay, well, let's go over to running backs then, and this is running back rushing yards. We'll throw a couple of big ones at you and a couple of small ones. Alvin Kamara at 64.5 rushing yards. What do you say, Scott?
Easily. You know, he had well over 100 scrimmage yards the last time. The Rams are ranked 23rd against the rush in the regular season. I know they were able to keep Ezekiel Elliott in check last week, but I don't think they do it again because New Orleans has much more offensive balance. That might be a favorite prop of mine. I'm definitely going with the over.
I'm going to go the under barely, but not one of the ones I'm betting on. I don't know if Jim's going to get to it. When they do the combined rushing and receiving for Kamara, that's one of my favorites.
And that's at 102.5 rushing and receiving.
And that I'm taking the over.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that one. I think he goes over there. One of my favorites, and of course, it just goes with my hunch, is that Mark Ingram is at 39.5 rushing yards. I think he goes over that. One of my better bets. I'm going to put a little bit on
that. Agreed.
Here's another one I like. Damian Williams rushing 61.5. I like the over on that as well. I'm definitely going to be putting something down on that.
Yeah, I love the over on that. 185 scrimmage yards last time for Kareem Hunt. And, you know, with all the weapons they have, you know, there's no way you can put extra attention in the box. You have to worry about Kelce. You have to worry about Hill if you're the Patriots. I wouldn't be surprised if Belichick takes the approach of, I'm not worried about him. You know, let's see if our defensive front can just handle it straight up. Damian Williams, I'm the least worried about, so I think he goes over.
Yep, agree. Okay, let's do a couple of wide receiver ones and get down.
You didn't ask George about that.
Oh, it's a consensus. I agree. I think Jim already knows that. We talked about this yesterday. Yeah, I like Williams as well.
How about wide receiver? Go a little deeper. How about Ted Ginn at 53.5?
All right. Here's somebody in the background testing their microphone.
Yeah, really.
While they do that.
We can hear you, whoever you are.
Yeah. So, all right, but we can hear you. Some technical difficulties right now. What was the question again?
Ted Ginn, 53.5 receiving yards, over and under.
That's a tough one because they weren't able to hit it, but they'll be so worried about Michael Thomas today. I say he goes over.
I'll double down, right? I put him in my DFS line, my main card here. So double down. Yeah, he's going to hit it.
Okay. How about Sammy Watkins at 55.5?
I say definitely goes over. With them being so concerned about Hill and Kelce, it's an opportunity for a temporarily healthy Watkins to make a dent today.
Agreed. Okay, well,
then we're going to go over to Travis Kelce, 91.5.
I'm going to say under. I think the Patriots, as you pointed out historically, have done a good job of being able to keep him in check yardage-wise.
That's a crazy high number, man. I love Kelce, but I'm going under as well.
Yeah, me too. I think I have to stick with that. And we'll go over to Scott's boy, Josh Hill, 18.5.
I'm going to say over, and he gets in the end zone. I'm just playing.
I would imagine
I'm playing
a
hunch. I'm playing a hunch today. I think he gets in the end zone.
Okay.
Once again, low number. I'll take the over as well. He has to throw to somebody besides Thomas and Kamara. So
what
do
you have? Like seven receiving yards last week on three catches. Josh Hill.
Something like that. And you always got Dan Arnold there, too, who could just come out of nowhere again. I agree. Yeah, exactly. That's what most people say. Okay, yeah. So let's go over. Let's turn it over to some of the game special bets. And, you know, a couple of these are player prop parlays. Basically, you have to hit both of them to win. And I'm going to throw the first one at you. Todd Gurley to have 50-plus yards receiving and the Rams to win at a plus 370. Where do you fall on that, Scott? Would that be a good bet to you or no?
I like Gurley on the receiving, but I'm not putting the Rams to bet, so I'd probably avoid that one. where Rams to win.
Okay, well then I'll give you. I'll turn that over to George because he likes the Rams to win. George, what do you think in that one?
Yeah, it just comes down to the girly receiving part. I mean, it's a lot. 50 receiving yards, not easy, but. Anyway, it comes down to the game. Are they going to use him a lot? This was week 10, no doubt. No doubt in my mind I love this. The fact that C.J. Anderson's there, I'm having some doubts here. I'd throw something on it, but it'd be a small amount, $5-$10, not one of my big prop bets.
Okay, fair enough. I'll go over to you then, Scott, for the Saints. Alvin Kamara to have 50 yards receiving and the Saints to win for a plus 215.
I'll throw $100 down on that, yeah. Maybe 200.
Yeah. Ah, you like that one a lot, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. How about Michael Thomas to have 150-plus receiving yards in the Saints to win at a plus 280?
George?
150 and the Saints to win? No. I mean, once again, a couple of bucks just for giggles, fine. But it won't. I'm certainly not putting anything I care about losing. That's a monster number. I think if the Rams lose, they're not going to lose because Thomas ate them up again. I just can't see them making the same mistake they made in the first meeting, and they won't have to because Tlaib is back.
Okay, let's turn it over to the Chiefs since we all think the Chiefs are going to win. We'll start with one of the ones I like the most, and that's Sammy Watkins to have 50-plus receiving yards and KC to win at a plus 186 number.
That's much upside to some of these other bets, but I can see it paying off.
George?
Yeah, that's one of the ones I like. I like that one. I would go a nice C note on that.
Of course, we should have a prop is like to what quarter Watkins gets injured, so.
Okay, well, you make that up as we go. How about this one? Damian Williams to rush for 100-plus yards, KC to win at a plus 250, George.
100-plus yards wouldn't shock me. We do like KC to win. Don't like it as much as I like the Watkins one, but I could put $50 on it.
I'd put $400 on that to win 1,000.
Nice. Yeah, well, that's because you're the king. You got it like that, all those gold in your coffers.
Scott spent about $1,000 so far on these prop bets. Good for you.
Look, I won four leagues this year, including winning the GST back-to-back. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Putting his money where his mouth is, or his mouth where his money is, whichever.
You can never get those fully right, can you, Jim?
No, I never could.
Yeah.
Okay, so we all...
By the way, as a former banker, guys, money's very dirty. Don't put money where your mouth is.
Yeah, exactly. We all like the Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl. So here's the odds for the Super Bowl games with the Chiefs in it. The Chiefs will beat the Saints at a plus 420. The Chiefs lose to the Saints at a plus 360. The Chiefs beat the Rams at a plus 640. Or the Rams beat the Chiefs at a plus 575. So they're actually, Vegas is saying the Chiefs beating the Rams is the longest bet of these four outcomes. What say you guys? I'll start with you, George. Any of these that you like?
Well, seeing as though that's the Super Bowl I think is going to happen, I'll take the solid Chiefs over the Rams 640. I'll take the best odds.
What were the Saints Chiefs odds for the Saints?
Saints beating the Chiefs is plus 360, and the Chiefs beating the Saints is plus 420.
I'm going to take the Chiefs beating the Saints and probably lay about $200 on that.
Yeah, I like that too. There's something about that plus 420 number that kind of speaks to me. So I think I want to
plus
go that way as well. No, plus 420 for the Chiefs beating the Saints. Plus
no, I got it the other way around. Saints
oh,
beat
you
the
want
Chiefs.
The Saints beat the Chiefs for plus 360. Yeah. Now, I'm going to go with the Chiefs beating the Saints. Again, I'd just love to see Mahomes cap off this magical season by winning the Super Bowl as well. The kid's incredible. He's going to be a talent that we're going to get to enjoy for many, many years. I'd love for him to cap this season off with a win. It doesn't look like it's going to be the Super Bowl I predicted in the preseason, so I'm going to go with the one I want to see the most, and that's Mr. Mahomes coming away with that big win.
All right. Thanks for all that, Jim. Appreciate it. Very well done, as always. And thank you to all listening to Fantasy Sports Today on Sundays throughout the season. Thanks to Mike Blewett for being a great host. George, where can we hear you going forward?
Going forward, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 to 2, Cam Stewart and I on, I believe it's the Weekend Fantasy Update.
Yes, and you'll be able to hear me on the new Roto Experts podcast on demand starting middle of this week, and Roto Experts in the morning from 8 to 11 every Sunday morning. And, of course, you'll be able to hear the Fantasy Taz every weekday as Fantasy Football Frenzy continues throughout the offseason. It's a year-round show from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern every weekday, along with Chris Ventura and Corey Parson. You'll hear myself and Jim tonight on the final edition of Fantasy Football Rewind to recap the conference title games tonight, 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern.